Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of the show. Today, we are remembering Zach Estrin, who was one of the core writers who wrote on the show for all four of its original seasons.
Zach passed away suddenly in September of 2022 after he collapsed while he was out on a run. Zach was only 51, and he left behind a wife and two children and a truly extraordinary career.
Yeah, he was an executive producer and writer on Prison Break, as well as Lost in Space, The River, The Whisperer, Zero Hour, and many more. And when we spoke with the other core writers from Prison Break, it was clear that Zach was a powerful creative force behind our show.
He was funny, and he was fearless. Some of the lines that made us giggle and gasp the most, and the ones that we can't believe they got past the censors, a lot of those lines came from Zach. So, for instance, his first episode was 104, which is English Fitz or Percy. And that has arguably my favorite line in the whole show when Michael says to the breakout gang, "We're not breaking out of a Jamba Juice, gentlemen."
Your favorite line.
Jamba Juice was huge back then. But I almost feel like with the waning of Jamba Juice, it gets even funnier. also in the script, for the very first time, the phrase "just have a little faith" shows up. Young Lincoln says it to young Michael in a flashback, and then we find them in real time in the chapel at Fox River when they think that Michael's going to be transferred out. And that line and the kind of heart behind it became a touchstone for the whole series. Just have a little faith. And then a couple of acts later, in the same script, we get that amazing, iconic, bellic line that Wade Williams delivered so well when Michael misses count. "Say it with me. We got a runner."
Yeah, such a great delivery. And all those things are in one script. That's all those kind
one
of iconic.
Script.
Yeah. And then in episode 110, which Zach wrote, then there were seven. He had a lot of fun writing for Teabag, obviously, because I think they all did. From Abruzzi calling him Sergeant Sodomy to C-Note's line, "Your parents must be so proud, man. You hitting the redneck trifecta, racist, pedophile, and stupid." And not a page later, it's C-Note again to Michael coming back from his conjugal. "While we're in here slinging concrete, you have some girly play you a tune on the rusty trombone."
The rusty trombone.
Wow. Zach introduced the audience to Michael's wife, Nika, and gave us that heartbreaking moment when Sarah sees Nika leaving her conjugal with Michael. And then we get Tweener's line heard round the world about prison industry salaries. "That's slavery, yo." And that's just the warm-up for Tweener's response to Michael's question. Still interested in getting on some PI, which is the amazing, "Does my mama got big breastises?" Hell yeah, she does. And hell yeah, I do. And just for the record, that's spelled B-R-E-S-T-I-C-E-S in the script.
Huh. Yeah, he was a specific man. Our Zach. And then he wrote 115, which is, I think one of the best of the first season, maybe the whole show. Brother's Keeper, that's the flashback episode that takes all of our main characters back in time to what brought them to Fox River, or in the case of some of us, the initial crimes where they set up Lincoln Burrows. It's completely unlike any other episode in the series, and it's pretty fucking brilliant. And there's this exchange between Sucre and Mary Cruz that kills me every time when she asks him, "What does he want from the future?" And he answers, "Would you run if I said you?" And she responds, "Would you chase me if I did?"
No.
And it's like, it's so beautiful. And it's, you know, it's why you root for them for the rest of the whole season. Counterpointed with Sarah meeting Bellick for the first time in an AA meeting and him seducing her with, Maybe you and I could talk about it over dinner. I've got a gift card to the Red Lobster over off the interstate.
Not as romantic in your opinion?
I mean, personally, I'm allergic to seafood, so not so much.
Not a great pitch. Zach, these are just some, you know, very specific instances of Zach's contribution. It goes on and on. His influence on the show was creative. It was interpersonal. Everybody that we had on the show that worked in the writer's room, that directed on the show, always pointed Zach out for being one of the main drivers of the spirit of the show and the joy that they had working on the show. So when we've had our writer and director guests on our podcast, we've invited them to share a few words about Zach. Some of them didn't say much. Frankly, hard for them to talk about. Some of them did.
And it was interesting because all the writers that we spoke with talked about that writer's room as sort of a high watermark in their careers. And Zach was super central to that. So here are some of their recollections in their own words.
From writer Karen Usher, another one of the core writers who wrote on the show for all four seasons. This is what Karen had to say.
Yeah.
Do you have any particular recollections, Zach, that you want to share with us?
I mean, I have so many billions.
I would imagine, yeah.
Actually, of him, and he's an enormous, I mean, it's an enormous loss to his family, but it's also an enormous loss to, like, the television community in general. He was a fantastic writer, but also a really good person. He was so funny, and he was such a sweet guy, and we had some particularly good battles, and my I used to throw my shoe at Zach, and I didn't throw my shoe at other people, but I would take off my shoe when I was in an argument with Zach and like fling it across the table. And eventually, like in third, I also remember in third season, some particularly explosive argument had broken out that Zach and I were not a part of, and we would like text across the table, like texting was like apparently new. And we would like text across the table about like, oh, this is like getting into a heated battle. And at one point in the battle, he like pointed down, like, let's have a meeting. And we both slid under the table to talk about. And we were like, what should we do? I mean, what's going on?
Amazing.
We have to calm things down.
That's wonderful.
But yeah. And Zach also, I mean, I'm sure you can tell in the voice of the show that the voices, although I think that Nick and I probably sound a little bit more similar. Zach had a frankly like sophomoric sense of humor that comes off really well in the show.
Yeah.
His episodes are really especially funny. And like my favorite line of any show ever is probably Tweener saying to Michael, does my mama have big breasts? And Michael saying, I wouldn't know. Like,
And then he goes, yeah, she does. And yeah, I would.
Amazing.
Zach was like, he had been doing it longer than Nick and I, had been a writer longer than Nick and I had been. It was like Zach was born to be a writer, you know, like a second generation, like born to be a writer.
Yeah. What do you mean second generation? Was his, like, were his parents in the business?
Yeah. His father, yes. And his father was. And, he just was, and it was funny because I remember him saying, I guess it was Charlotte, his oldest daughter, that when she was like 3 years old, was like already putting cards down on the floor. Like, well, she was already learning. This is what I do. I'm making my story. And I know Nick Santora's daughter actually is pursuing being a writer. But I don't know about Zach's kids, but... yeah, you're kind of handing it down.
That was writer Karen Usher.
And then from Paul Schering, who of course created Prison Break, this is what he had to say.
The only thing I would say now is, you know, everyone speaks well of the dead, but he was really a special person. He was very talented, but more importantly, he was such a sweet human being. He was such a positive dude. And you know, subsequent to this, I made a few more pilots. And I always asked him to come along because, you know, of his skill set and because of his, you know, bonhomie. So, I mean, you know, pour out a little beer for that guy because he was really one of the good ones.
And with that, we'll be right back.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. Welcome back, everyone.
Here's some remembrances from Greg Yatanis, who helmed some of the most iconic episodes of the series and directed one of Zach's episodes.
My contact picture for Zach is the picture I took of him on set of Prison Break, which I still have on my phone. And in this business, you find, you know, when you can find those kindred spirits or those people you connect to or those people you want to have dinner with later on set, like, you know, Paul and I did. And you know, it was it's just like, you know, he and I would, you know, either he was a great cheerleader, like all throughout my career. Like it was like when he saw mm-hmm. something I had done, he wrote. When I saw something he did, he wrote. I met on producing Lost in Space with him. Like, you know, he was always so, like, he was always there with a compliment. I, like you, Sarah, I found out, like, I had just talked to him. Like, House of the Dragon was airing. And we were writing on Instagram to each other, you know, it was shocking. And he was gone way too soon. And and it's not even lionizing. I wouldn't be having this conversation. Like I'm not one of the people that, like, in somebody's death suddenly romanticize who they were in life. It was a real loss. You know, I put feelers out to find out there was a memorial or something was happening and nothing sort of came back. So, but it was, you know, I think an opportunity like this with other people that knew him and to be able to mourn the loss and say that we miss him is so important. Like I definitely lost like a professional friend in the business and I don't have many of those. I always think people fall into two buckets. They work from a place of pain and torture or they work from a place of joy. And I think pretty much everybody I've ever worked with, I could put in either of those two buckets. And I felt that, you know, Zach was working from joy. I feel like that's why we got on well, because I work from a place of joy. Yeah. I love being on set. I don't have to tear myself to pieces to do what I do. And I loved that. Like when somebody's even more buoyant, you know, like it's just great. Mm-hmm. And and he was excited too. Like we'd be doing something. He's like, I love that shot. Like, why, like, do you get special lenses? Like, why does your stuff look so good? You know, like, stop being so good. You know, like he was such a, you know, he was so great.
And here are a few words from showrunner Matt Olmsted.
Yeah, he was in a way like the funny bone and the heart of the staff. And wildly talented, but also wildly inappropriate. He'd take inappropriate
some
comments.
Of his lines.
I'm believing. But also in the room, he would take it just there, but it would be so endearing and comforting because he didn't have a stick up his ass. He just enjoyed the process, loved the process, and was super, super smart. I remember he wrote an episode that was the flashback episode in the first season.
Brother's Keeper.
And I was doing a little bit of interviews back then or whatever, and someone asked me a favorite episode of the season. I mentioned that. He came in but I remember when I turned in the script and it was perfect. The one thing about Zach is you had to kind of pull scripts out of his hand sometimes because it was kind of a little bit late. He just obsessively go over it. He turned in the script. I'm like, this is unbelievable. We go in the room. I'm like, I have one note. C note, when he's talking to his commanding officer, he has one line that's kind of laying on a little thick. Maybe take that out. He's like, well, the reason I like it, I'm like, I gave you one note and you're pushing back on one sentence I gave you.
53 pages in one note.
Angle him. And he would good-naturedly, and I'll give the note. I'll do that. I always remember about that.
Funny.
He's one of the few guys who I felt really kind of cracked the code of work and balance. Mm. You're you're talking from Vancouver Island, and I want to hear that. I'm like, that's someone who's kind of found a way to kind of like balance their life out. He lived in Manhattan Beach.
Yeah.
Had a full life down there.
Yeah.
Great family man. And was just so talented, but a good friend. And he, one of the guys who was there from day one, absolutely pushing the bigger stories, absolutely pushing the bigger swings. Somebody you really go to for advice. And so when the news came that he was taken from us, very heavy, very heavy, and greatly missed.
That was showrunner Matt Olmsted. Sarah, what are some of your recollections of Zach?
There was something so deeply collaborative about his work and about his respect for every department. And he didn't see us as meat puppets. He really saw us as sort of co-creators, which meant a lot. And interestingly, his father, I think, was on the board of a nonprofit in LA called OpUSA that did aid work overseas. And before I had started on Prison Break, my husband had worked with them for a spell. And so, you know, as I was going back through some old emails, we had a bunch of communication about that too. And, you know, I don't know, it just kind of gave me a sense that Zach came from a family that valued, valued service and a good family. So, you know, he made the set better. He made the day calmer. I never saw him lose his temper.
I think it's worth noting that it's a, you know, what we do is a strange amalgam of skill and hard work, but also interpersonal skill. That, frankly, you don't have to have to necessarily succeed in this business. Obviously, a lot of people have without having those skills. He was the really rare combination of somebody who had a lot of creative power and was a leader, had people working under him and people he was working for, and everybody seemed to genuinely just really enjoy not just his ideas, but the way that he communicated those ideas, being around him. Everybody just felt that he made any room he was in a better room. And that is worth celebrating because it is just, it's a rare thing.
You know, I think Eutanus put it really well, that people come from fear, they come from love, the business. And like Zach came from love, which is part of why I think we wanted to, you know, do this episode to sort of acknowledge all the heart that he put into the show and into everybody involved.
All right. So let's wrap it up with a proverbial raising of the glass to a Hollywood writer who is respected, admired by everyone we've talked with, everyone who worked with him. It's no small thing. So thank you, Zach Estrin.
Thank you, Zach Estrin. Thank you for everything you gave us on Prison Break. We're grateful to you. Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul is a Caliber Studio production. Your hosts have been friends, but not besties, Sarah Wayne Callies and Paul Edelstein. Our prison warden has been producer Ben Haber. Our head of Jailhouse Rock is Paul Edelstein, who made the music for this podcast. Keeping us slim and trim, the prison yard, has been sound designer and editor, the great Jeff Schmidt. Keeping us up to date on the outside world is production assistant Drew Austin. Our prison artist, logo, and brand designer is John Dinziato and Little Big Brands. Check them out at www.littlebigbrands.com. Follow us on Instagram at Prison Break Podcast. Email us at prisonbreaking@caliber-studio.com and call us at 401-3-PBREAK. Prison Breaking with Sarah and Paul has been a Caliber Studio production. Thank you for listening.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.